Welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey. Always glad to have you here on a Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Got a good show. As usual, we're following the money and an awful lot of news occurring out there and some things on the horizon. My first guest is Colleen Kelly. She is the president of the National Treasury Employees Union, and we're going to be talking about the possibility of furloughs, sequestration. So this is a family program, so we will be using the F word and the S word a lot. So if you're sensitive, you may want to tune out. But if you are a federal worker, you may want to tune in. Colleen, are you with us?
I am, Mike.
Hey, thank you for making yourself available. I know this is very, very busy. I wanted to ask you, you and I have both been at this a long, long time. I've never seen a situation even remotely like this. And to the icing on the cake is that an asteroid is heading toward the Earth, and it's going to it's about the size of the of a hotel, downtown D.C. hotel, and they say it's going to miss us by 17,000 miles. So we'll assume NASA is correct. But have you ever seen a situation like this with sequestration? And I mean, words we've never or seldom heard, at furloughs and the fiscal cliff and all that.
Well, sequestration is surely a new term that federal agencies, federal employees, and the country have not dealt with before. When there have been or has been talk about furloughs or unpaid days, it usually was more tied to lapse in appropriations and government shutdowns, which, of course, we've had those and had threats of those. But this sequestration, where each agency is going to have to do across-the-board cuts, regardless of their mission and regardless of the critical nature of the work that they provide to the American public. No, this is something new.
Well, I'm glad to know that, because I do not recall even hearing the term sequestration or sequester until just the last few months, and now we're all supposed to be instant experts on it. But really not very many people, including me, know very much about it.
Well, and there's not a lot of history or specifics out there, because, as you said, it was something newly created with the Budget Control Act that was passed last spring. And everyone who voted for it and passed it did so saying that they hoped it never had to happen. Everyone assumed that it would never really come to pass, that it would just be, I guess, some kind of a lever, to help find resolution to these important fiscal issues. But now we are there, and that surely hasn't happened. So for some, and I think for the American public as well as for employees, there are a lot more questions than answers, especially because I think everyone's priority continues to be, I will tell you, NTU's priority mm-hmm. is to avoid sequestration. And so we're working as hard to try to avoid it, as we are to make sure that the information and the facts are there for the employees and for the country should it happen.
Well, at times I feel like I'm attending a Gilbert and Sullivan comic opera where they say, this is what we've done, but don't let us get away with it. I mean, in effect, that's what the politicians are telling everybody.
Well, I know, and it really has everyone caught in the middle, including, like I said, a lot of the focus, especially inside the Beltway, has been on the agencies and on employees and what the impact will be, which would be huge and would be devastating, but it would have an immediate ripple effect to the American public and to the services that they depend on from every federal agency that really, I think, are just kind of taken for granted. They happen kind of under the radar. We just assume that it will be there. We assume that the borders will be protected and that our trade will be safe coming in and out of the country and that food will be inspected. And we just assume all those things happen because they do every day. Well, sequestration could change all of that.
Well, the Brookings Institution some years ago estimated that for every single government employee, every career civil servant, there were 6 to 8 federal contractors. I think that number has actually increased the ratio. And when the Base Realignment and Closure Commission was talking about the impact of moving people here and moving people there, I believe they said that coming into the Washington area, the employees that they brought in here, they said those employees would in effect impact and create 6 jobs. That is maybe everything from maybe parking lot attendant to restaurant to transportation, but that the federal presence and bringing in people with a good payroll would impact 6 jobs. So I guess if the reverse of that is if there is a furlough, if people are furloughed one day a week, that's a 20% pay cut for that week. That could have a ripple effect not only on our economy here in Washington, but in places that you don't think about that are major centers. Ogden, Utah is a case in point.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when one of the biggest myths about federal employees is that they all work, or the majority of them work, inside Washington, D.C. In fact, only 15% of federal employees work in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. 85% of federal employees work outside across the rest of the country and are integral and important parts of the economies of their local, you know, their local city and state.
Yeah, well, I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and his wife actually is from Carbondale, Illinois, and he said the Southern Illinois University, the VA, I think Hines VA Center, and Marion Supermax Federal Prison are the primary employers in that area. And someone else was in the group, and they are from Ogden, Utah. And everybody there works for the Air Force or for the IRS.
Yes. And that is a lot of cities across our country. That is for sure. They are, you know, many federal agencies are the primary employer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Colleen, I know you represent people in the Internal Revenue Service. What are some of the other agencies that NTU is into?
In Homeland Security, at Customs and Border Protection, Health and Human Services, the Securities and Exchange Commission, Food and Nutrition Services, the Environmental Protection Agency, Social Security and the Office of Hearing and Appeals, Financial Management Services. Let's see, I don't have my
Well, you know, I'm saying ouch with each one because
yes, exactly.
If you look back at the impact of a one-day-per-week furlough on the IRS, you know, I haven't filed yet, but there are some people who are looking for refunds. You have people in Social Security hearing and appeals. That's a place where you don't want to furlough. Homeland Security, obviously, Customs and Border Patrol. What does it look like in these different constituent agencies?
Well, in every agency, of course, they are talking to NTU because we have initiated conversations in every one of our agencies. First and foremost, of course, to avoid that sequestration will even occur. But if it does, what we want to avoid is seeing the agency make personnel cuts or furloughs, rather than looking at other ways that they could be cutting their spending, whether temporarily or permanently. And that includes, for example, looking at contracts. You know, every federal agency has contracts, whether they're IT contracts or procurement contracts or fill in the blank. I mean, we know you mentioned the Brookings Institute report on how many contract employees there are for every one civilian employee. And that is a fact. There are huge dollars out there. And there are also just decisions agencies make about travel and about, you know, how they even procure supplies, where employees have ideas about how they could save money. So we're trying to work with the agencies. We're pushing for transparency. We want to see what it is they have in those budgets that could be either foregone temporarily to get through sequestration or even permanently if there's a better way to do business. So, but in all of our agencies, of course, they're being you know, given specifics about how to proceed with the unions and with employees by the Office of Management and Budget. And so their message continues to be that they're trying to avoid sequestration. So it's been pretty hard to get specifics from any of our agencies. So we have just proceeded on the basis that we want to avoid furloughs.
Period.
But here's what I believe. I believe that if you look at the numbers, whether it's a 5% cut or an 8% cut, and over how many months, because, of course, that all keeps changing, you know, as the date changed. When it was January 1st, it was a certain percent, and now that it's March 1st. And so whatever the percentage is and whatever the dollars are, they are huge dollars. I am not aware of any agency that if they just continue operating as they normally would under a normal appropriation scenario without the sequestration threat, I just don't see how any agency could do so without looking at furlough days. And then the question is how many? Is it going to be, you mentioned one a pay period. There's been a lot in the press about that as an example. And that, as you said, would be a 20% cut in pay for every employee for every pay period that happens.
I think somebody figured out over the year it would mean a 4% pay cut. But, Colleen, if we can hold that thought, we need to take a short break here on Federal News Radio. We'll be right back talking with Colleen Kelly, president of the National Treasury Employees Union.
He Here's Jeff Eisensmith, Chief Information Security Officer, Department of Homeland Security, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by McAfee.
I think a rising star is going to be cyber kill chain. It takes advantage of two really major things here: knowledge management of what has gone down before and anticipating what's coming at us. And it also gives you real-life metrics that we're able to build real business cases of what we need to get the infrastructure where it should be.
Listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group. Log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Federal IT organizations and prime contractors are experiencing a rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements. McAfee is the standard throughout federal military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to assuring federal networks remain resilient against the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, call 888-VIRUS-NO or go to McAfee.com/government.
Looking to make a career move in technology? Start your search at PowerJobs.com, the new career site made for Washington's top talent. New on PowerJobs.com this week.
Executive Advisor, Government and Technology at Corporate Executive Board. Apply for this job and other leading positions in the influential industries that make up our region at PowerJobs.com.
PowerJobs.com, finally, a career site made for you.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
The Washington Wizards are back.
Spins, fades, banks, scores, and one. Okafor. Up court to Crawford. No look pass. Ariza. Stuff to it.
Crawford drives baseline. Whips it in the corner. Sheldon Mack for three.
Single game tickets are on sale now. Call 202-661-5050. That's 202-661-5050. Or buy your tickets online at WashingtonWizards.com/tickets.
Mythics Consulting is hiring. Mythics Consulting is an award-winning Oracle Platinum specialized consulting partner working to enable the Oracle-powered enterprise. And Mythics Consulting is looking for IT professionals that get the job done. Available positions include leading Oracle solution areas like applications, enterprise content management, and big data. Mythics Consulting is the go-to Oracle systems integrator with open positions and ready to hire high-skilled IT professionals. Check it out at mythics.com/careers. That's mythics.com/careers.
For those of you who like to check your connection speed, you can go to broadbandreports.com. You can get their speed test. You can test your upload and download speed. I like to do that periodically. Sometimes my Fios download speed gets up to 16 megabits per second, but this morning I had 10 down and 3 up. And you've got 60 megabits per second. I'd love to have that kind of bandwidth, but 60 could be overkill. But I'd say anything more than 30 is probably not worth the money.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
The 4th Annual Cybersecurity Symposium is almost here, February 22nd at the Capitol Hilton. Brought to you by AFCEA DC, they'll explore U.S. cyber preparedness from a matrix team perspective. DOD, DHS, Intel, and the private sector. They'll have panels on ramping up cyber innovation, understanding our adversaries, and breakouts with CyberCom, Component Commands, and COCOMs. A competition for companies to present their emerging technologies is going on right now. To register, visit afceadc.org/cyber or call 202-701-5808.
And Mike Cozier, welcome back to Your Turn. Glad to have you with us. And a reminder, all of our shows are archived, so you can listen later if you miss something or want to pass it on to a friend. And all of our shows are archived on our homepage. Talking with Colleen Kelly, she's president of the National Treasury Employees Union, and they represent workers in the IRS, Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol, Social Security's Office of Hearing and Appeals, and numerous other agencies. We were talking about the furlough. And Colleen, to break the flow for a second, got a fan email here from C in the IRS, and he or she says, when was the last time that all 13 appropriations bills were passed and signed by the president by October 1? I have 26 years in IT and government, and I can't remember when there was not a continuing resolution merry-go-round. Kudos to Colleen Kelly. I've been an NTU member since 1986 And when I got promoted 3 years ago to a non-bargaining unit job, I continued my membership. So can't beat that.
Wow, that's great. That's
nice. It has been a while under both Republicans and Democrats since the Congress has done its job and passed all 13 of these appropriations, hasn't it?
It has. I was thinking that would probably be a good question for Jeopardy.
Yeah, someday. Yeah.
But I think what is different this time is that we have this triple threat of sequestration,
mm-hmm.
No appropriations bills in the CR, and then the debt ceiling, which, of course, has now been at least temporarily kicked down the road again. You know, but it surely is the first time that we've had three things like this, three very real threats aligned that could impact the agencies and their operations as well as the American public.
There was an excellent piece on PBS last night on Frontline about the background to all of this sequestration and how this has been going on for a year. And there's plenty of blame on both parties and for both the White House and the Congress. But, Colleen, during the winter of 1995 and 96, there was a government-wide shutdown. Thousands of people were sent home for several days at a time. I think in one case it was a week or more. But when the shutdown ended, Congress said it wasn't the employees' fault, and it voted to give them pay for the time they were furloughed. So, in effect, even though they didn't ask for it, they got a paid vacation in midwinter. If something like that happens this time, my thinking is that the chances of them getting reimbursed for being furloughed, whatever length of time, is slim and none.
Unfortunately, Mike, I would agree with you. I think that this was actually our same opinion last spring when we were facing a shutdown because of a CR that was expiring. I think these are very different times. It's a very different Congress. And as you said, this was done back in 1995 because Congress voted to, took a proactive stance that federal employees shouldn't be harmed because of, their failure to act on appropriations. I when you look at the voting record on federal employee issues these days and on the bills being introduced that are so hostile to federal employees and do not value and respect them or the work that they do, we would fight for that, of course. We would do everything we could to try to help make it happen, but I think the odds would be against it.
Yeah, the maybe got a sneak preview of it last year when the FAA had a shutdown of about 1,000 people were furloughed. I think they were in the medical business, or maybe they were people who examined FAA employees or pilots. But at any rate, they were furloughed for about a week. And when they came back, we all expected they would be made whole. And the Congress specifically said, no, they were furloughed, and that's that. And it was up to DOT to find money, which it did, to reimburse these employees. But if it had been up to Congress, they would have lost a week's pay.
I remember that, Mike. It was not a good, I think, not fair to employees. As you said, it wasn't their fault that there were no appropriations and that they were furloughed. But I do think it is, a real sign of the times.
Defense has sort of set the tone, as they often do. It's the largest federal agency. Somebody said when defense gets a cold, every other agency sneezes. And defense has said there will be furloughs, and they will be most likely one a week, and there will be 22 if it went the distance. Have you heard about other agency plans? We reported this morning that part of the Treasury Department says it can do without furloughs, but we don't know what other agencies are planning.
Well, some of the agencies, a couple that you mentioned in Treasury, are agencies that are represented by NTU, and those agencies have been undergoing major reorganizations and, in fact, some mergers. I mean, we have been working with them. NTU has been working with them for well over a year, even before the word sequestration was introduced into our vocabulary.
Yeah.
So it is possible that there are some agencies, because of other things they have been doing, either in anticipation, if they were planning well for sequestration, or just in changing how they do business, that might be able to avoid it. And, of course, that would be the preferred mode from NTU's view. But I think in many agencies, and surely, as you said, you've seen it in the Defense Department, but you look at any big agency, I just think that they're going to have to – their number one cost is salaries. And so if they have to cut hundreds of millions of dollars from a budget that was not even a good budget last year, using the IRS, for example, the IRS's budget in FY11 was the same as 10. And in 2012, the budget they were given was actually $305 million less than 2010. So agencies that have been operating on smaller and smaller budgets while they're trying to deliver on their missions, and when 70 or 75% of their costs are salaries, I just think the practicality is they're going to have to look to, and are seriously considering these furlough days. Now, the issue of one day a week or how that happens, the fact is how furlough days would be served by employees if that has to happen. How that happens is negotiable by the unions who represent employees in all of these agencies. So if, you know, the agency might want to do one day a pay period, but maybe employees have an interest in wanting to serve 1 week at a time at the end of the year because they know that their spouse will be working at the end of the summer, and so they don't have to worry about having no paycheck. You know, I mean, there are things that employees are going to want to balance, and it's their interests and their rights that the unions have a right to negotiate over how these furloughs are done. That's part of the timing of this, is while everybody, you know, the agencies are being pretty close to the vest because of direction they're being given by the Office of Management and Budget to not put out specifics, I know they are running a lot of different scenarios, and I do believe that most of them are trying to avoid this negative impact on employees. But at the end of the day, if they have to do that, they cannot just unilaterally determine how those furloughs will be served if there is a union who represents those employees.
That's interesting. I did not realize that. So it is possible that unions will negotiate and, you know, as you said, maybe have a one-week furlough at the end of this current fiscal year, and when they could, it would give people time to sock away some more money, too, for that rainy day fund.
It could, and there, Mike, there probably are a lot of employees who, if they have to serve furlough days unpaid, they would like to do it one day a pay period, maybe, so that it's not a huge impact. But there are others, like I said, everyone's situation is different. You know, federal employees are, you know, middle-class working Americans, and they have the same issues that everyone else has. And so they all have individual situations, whether it's about their spouse or their family situation or, you know, whatever their personal situation is. And that has to be the unions have a right to negotiate that with the agency.
You could make it a low budget or a ramen noodles week at home.
There you go.
Yeah. Several of our readers have questioned the legality of a one-day-a-week furlough, but I assume the officials have looked into that. And as I pointed out to several people, Congress and the White House do make the laws, so if they say one day a week, it would be one day a week. Do you have any thoughts, have you done any research on if employees who are furloughed could apply for unemployment, or is this one reason why they're looking at one day a week rather than a week at a time?
Well, this is one of those questions that we do get a lot, but as you know, the unemployment rules are all based on the state rules. Each state has their own. They have different waiting periods, so there's really not any one standard answer to that. You know, employees would need to, and they would be bound by whatever the rules were in their state. Some states have a five-day waiting period, so that if you did one day a pay period, you would never qualify for it.
Yeah.
But if you did 5 days in a row and that was the end of the furlough, you also still might not qualify, you know, if there's a five-day waiting period. Some it might even have more than that. And I have not, I wouldn't even begin to try to define what all the rules are in each state. That's a question for employees.
There's 50 different answers to that, literally.
Yes, there are.
Well, I recall vaguely during the 95-96 shutdown, you and I were mere children, but we were there. But I recall that there was a problem with some people who did actually qualify for unemployment, and they got it. And then when they were reimbursed, they had to pay that back, I believe, with a penalty. So I think if you're talking about a one-day-a-week furlough, unless you're really, really desperate, I wouldn't even entertain the idea of unemployment.
Yeah, there are 50 different answers. And also the other thing that, you know, we all hope will happen is that even if sequestration kicks in on March 1st, that there would be some resolution, whether it's by the time the CR expires on March 27th or a couple weeks later. I mean, we would hope that this situation wouldn't last all the way through the end of September. And in that case, you, like, wouldn't want to serve 5 or 10 furlough days immediately.
Right.
Because it might get resolved. And so, there are pluses and minuses, and there's not, there's not a perfect answer. The perfect answer is to stop sequestration, and that's what NTU's goal is. We actually have, we're going to have a couple hundred federal employees, NTU members who are here in Washington, D.C. the week of February 23rd, leading right up to the March 1st sequestration date. They're going to be here bringing our message to Congress, and the message is to stop the sequester. So it's that kind of work that has to continue alongside, you know, preparing for if something, you know, really bad happens.
Colleen, thanks for taking time out today, and we'll do this again. We'll keep our fingers crossed on sequestration. Colleen Kelly, National Treasury Employees Union. Be right back talking with Stephen Losey from the Federal Times.
Looking to make a career move in technology? Start your search at PowerJobs.com, the new career site made for Washington's top talent. New on PowerJobs.com this week.
Director of Technology and Strategy for AT&T. Apply for this job and other leading positions in the influential industries that make up our region at PowerJobs.com.
PowerJobs.com. Finally, a career site made for you.
Hey, honey.
Hi, Dad.
What you drawing?
It's our house. That's you.
Oh.
Me.
Huh?
Mom and Josh.
Wow.
Playing ball.
You are becoming quite the artist.
When you're a kid, you don't know that home ownership builds communities, that owning a home contributes to higher self-esteem and better test scores. You just know that home is where you play, grow, and learn. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know that home ownership matters to our families, our neighborhoods, and our country. Learn more at houselogic.com/homeownership.
Register now for AFSEA's 12th Annual Homeland Security Event, February 26th through 28th at the Grand Hyatt, Washington. Focusing on working together, keeping the nation safe, this is the venue where you'll hear firsthand about the critical issues facing our country, including cybersecurity, critical infrastructure protection, identity management, information and intelligence sharing, emergency management, mobile communications, and more. Speakers from all levels of government, military, and industry will participate, and contractors and agencies will showcase the latest security products and solutions in the exposition. New this year is a small business matchmaking symposium. This event is proudly sponsored by AT&T, InfoZen, Kinetic North America, URS, and Verizon. Register to attend or exhibit at www.afcea.org, keyword homeland. That's AFCEA.org.
Here's Brian Dixon, Data Center Consolidation Program Lead, USDA, on the Path to FDCCI Compliance Panel, sponsored by Thundercat Technology and NetApp.
At USDA, we're going to endeavor to move people to a most efficient environment for their applications, because until we can identify what storage we're using and we can standardize, until we can do that, you can't get to the next step.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com, keyword FDCCI.
Is your agency on track for data center consolidation compliance? Data center experts at Thundercat Technology can help you consolidate, relocate, and maximize your data center assets. By leveraging NetApp Agile storage solutions and proprietary consolidation tools, Thundercat helps agencies achieve compliance and cut costs by up to 50%. To get help with your data center migration strategy, go to FDCCIConnect.com to download the FDCCI strategy guide today. FDCCIConnect.com.
The best of the Atlantic 10 Conference comes to the Charles E. Smith Center in Foggy Bottom in 2013. Get your GW Basketball Conference plan today and watch the Colonials take on Temple, Butler, Dayton, and more. Get all 8 conference games for as low as $80 when you visit gwsports.com/tickets or call 202-994-7325. GW Basketball. Raise high the buff and blue.
A couple of engineers were wondering if airplanes could be more fuel efficient and decided to try a radical redesign. Jeffrey Spedding, an engineer at the University of Southern California, says his South African colleague first suggested removing most of the plane's tail.
If you don't need the tail, then you don't need that long body. If you don't need that long body, the body can be much shorter and fatter than it is now and better able to contain stuff.
Spedding says tests on models suggest it would also use less fuel, and just coincidentally, it looks like a bird.
The wings sit sort of on top of this wider, fatter body than we're accustomed to, which is much more efficient aerodynamically than the long cigar-like tube.
Feasibility may depend upon a plane's mission, but Spedding says it points the way to energy-saving ideas. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. Glad to have you with us. Just spoke with Colleen Kelly from the National Treasury Employees Union. And now Steve Losey from the Federal Times is joining our ranks. Steve, are you the Lone Ranger today? Steve, are you there? He certainly is the Lone Ranger.
Mike?
Oh, Steve, yeah, you there?
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm here. How you doing?
Oh, good, good. Are you alone? You with us today?
Yep, flying solo.
Very good. Well, let's get it done then. Before we go into the sequestration and the furloughs and whatnot, some other issues here, up to and including a possibility of a 1% pay raise for federal workers. And there was a time years ago, I think during the Carter administration, inflation was high, and the administration offered federal workers a 9%+ pay raise, and the administration officials were booed at the convention because it wasn't enough. So things change.
Oh, those were the days.
Yes. So what the president originally budgeted for a 0.5% pay raise, and now is it up to 1%?
Well, here's how it works. The 0.5% pay raise, that right now is due to go into effect at the end of March.
Okay.
Now, it's far from certain. There are several Republicans who are opposing that. Right this afternoon, the House Rules Committee is going to consider a Republican bill that would cancel the half a percentage point pay raise that is now scheduled to go into effect for 2013, in effect extending the already more than 2-year pay freeze into a third year. Now, the 1% pay raise that is being discussed, that is something that President Obama reportedly wants to include in his 2014 budget. So it would apparently go into effect in next January. If it gets approved, of course, that is far from certain. We're still in the thick of these just ugly, ugly budget fights. So that is something that is coming potentially down the road. Now, some federal unions, including Colleen from NTU, who you just spoke to, Colleen Kelly and J. David Cox of AFGE, say that that would be inadequate considering federal employees have already operated for well more than 2 years with no increase to their pay scales.
Right. AFG had a big and very successful rally on Capitol Hill yesterday. Richard Trumka of the AFL-CIO and president of AFSCME were there, and they made an impressive showing. Of course, all of the unions endorsed and supported President Obama for his election and his reelection. So I gather in private they're probably rather disappointed about all this.
That's right. The disgruntlement from unions is starting to maybe I shouldn't say disgruntlement, but the disappointment from unions is starting to percolate up. This may be jumping into sequestration a little bit earlier than you're expecting.
That's okay.
But the Office of Management and Budget has released memos trying to tell agencies how to prepare for sequestration, much of which dealt with furloughing employees, hiring freezes, things that would affect the federal personnel side. And there was very little specific information on how to cut back on the contract side. Pretty much just said, you should look at cutting contract spending. AFGE on Monday was especially disappointed by that. And on Monday, they released a report they commissioned from a University of Baltimore professor that detailed how agencies can cut back on spending and get the bulk of the sequestration cuts through cutting back on contract spending alone. They said that this report said that 70% to 90% of that $85 billion in sequestration cuts could conceivably be found by scaling back service contract spending. So it's highly unlikely that agencies will cut back on contract spending that much. And the AFGE report didn't really go into what the practical effects of reducing service contract spending by that much would be. But their point is, it is possible to achieve much of the savings by reducing service contract spending.
You know, during the economic crisis and the meltdown, we kept hearing the phrase, things were too big to fail. And it looks as if certainly the federal government is in that area. And if there is indeed six, or if there are six contractors or eight contractors for every federal employee, it might be possible, feasible, to make the savings by cutting back in contracts. But you've still got the same problem of the economic impact on the community.
That's true. And contractors have already started to feel the pinch. Last week, Lockheed Martin said they're offering buyouts to mid-level managers in their information systems and global solutions unit because they are feeling the economic pinch. And none of these choices are pain-free. I mean, no matter which way you turn, someone is going to get the short end of the stick. It's a question of, will it be federal employees? Will it be contractors? Will it be split between them? We're just going to have to wait and see. One thing I thought was kind of interesting about this AFGE report, though, they talked about what are called indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts. These are basically contracts where the government has a required minimum that they have to meet, and then after that, they have complete discretion to say, okay, we're going to extend it a year, or we're going to give us a little bit more, give us this, give us that. And the ball is entirely in their court. AFGE's point is, agencies could simply choose not to issue these new task orders once the minimum requirement is met. So that's one option that is available to federal managers as they're trying to figure out, how in the world am I going to find these millions and billions in savings that I need to find.
And from a financial standpoint, too, it would seem that the contractors themselves, although nobody wants it, but they would have factored the fact that their contract might go a certain length of time or for a certain amount of money, and then that it would stop. So that would not be should not be a complete surprise to them. Huh?
That's right. And I think some of the things we're seeing on the contractor side, cutbacks on the contractors like Lockheed Martin, I think they are trying to take into account the potential for these steep cuts to their government business.
We had an email from somebody who wanted to ask Colleen about what happens during a furlough. What about unemployment compensation? And she said it's a matter of the states handling it, 50 different states, and that would be the way it would go. Many, if not most of them, require a 5-day waiting period. So if you're furloughed one day a week, you'd miss that loop each time around. I just looked in the How to Manage Your Federal Furlough booklet put out by the Federal Daily, and they on the furlough section, they say exactly what she did. It's the law of the state. But interestingly, it's the law of the state where you work, not where you live. So if you were a Virginia or a Maryland resident, for instance, and you work in D.C., you were downtown at the Labor Department or GSA headquarters or Interior, then the D.C. unemployment laws would apply. So to further complicate things. Another question we had, someone asked, when is the last time all 13 appropriations bills were passed by Congress and signed by the president by the fiscal year October 1 deadline? And I don't know if you know the date, the answer to that, but that is another problem with sequestration, isn't it? That you've got automatic cuts, you have the debt ceiling looming, as Colleen Kelly said, and then in addition to that, you have the fact that agencies are running on continuing resolutions that are old budgets that in themselves are running on old budgets.
That's right. The budget process in Congress has been an absolute wreck for years and years, and we're talking decades. We looked up a Congressional Research Service report that talks about this, and it seems that there have been 3 years in the last couple of decades where absolutely no CRs were passed by Congress, meaning they passed their budgets on time. That was 1989, 1995, and 1997. The rest of the time, it's been at least one, most often several more continuing resolutions. So the budget process has bled into the next fiscal year. I believe Senator Inouye of Hawaii, who recently passed away last September, he gave a speech just lambasting Congress for their dysfunction. He said that in the 50-some years he served in the Senate, he can only remember three years that Congress passed all its spending bills on time. And that's just a sad
That would be those years, 89, 95, and 97, probably.
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah, and this is bipartisan. It's under Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, the incompetence crosses party lines.
Right. See, we'll take a short break here, your turn. Be right back talking with Steve Losey from Federal Times here on Federal News Radio.
The Guiding You Home Safely Report, provided and paid for by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association.
The federal debt limit extension deal passed by Congress assures the federal government will not default on its loans through mid-May. But military budget experts say the extension deal could also increase the chances of sequestration. In the continuing budget fight, both parties are so well entrenched in their opposition of other alternatives, such as tax increases or entitlement cuts, it's possible that sequestration may be the least common denominator between the two parties. Sequestration could have a negative impact on jobs, the nation's economy, and essential government services.
Hi, I'm Paul Rinaldi, President of National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Safety is our top priority, and last year was proof. It was the safest year in aviation history. We represent dedicated professionals who work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, guiding 70,000 flights a day safely to their destination. Next time you fly, remember, we guide you home safely. Visit us at natca.org.
Do you hear that? That's a cuttlefish. Ars Raytheon sees it the future of infrared technology. By studying how cephalopods manipulate light, we're driving innovation in IR imaging. With systems that are lighter, use less power, and deliver revolutionary clarity. After all, when your mission is innovation, your inspiration can come from anywhere. Raytheon. Customer success is our mission. Do you hear that? That's something we make safer and more efficient every day. Raytheon helps manage two-thirds of the world's airspace, modernizing, integrating, and supporting today's air traffic systems. For decades, we've continued to innovate as the nation's airways have continued to grow. After all, when your mission is transforming air travel, the sky's the limit. Raytheon, customer success is our mission.
Arming your home with an Ackerman home security system gives you and your family peace of mind. Why Ackerman? Because security is what they do, and they do it better than anyone else.
I was paying too much for my home security's monitoring, and I found out it was with a company that subcontracts out monitoring to a third-party company that monitors for hundreds of different alarm companies all over the country. So I made the switch to Ackerman Security. Now I'm paying only $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and there is no cost to switch. Most importantly, Ackerman has its own monitoring center that is both UL and CSAA 5 Diamond certified, so I feel more safe.
Keeping your family and home safe and secure doesn't have to break the bank. Call today and get up to 3 months free of Ackerman's award-winning basic monitoring. 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
What you don't know about federal pay, benefits, and retirement can cost you. Get the answers you need with a free publication from NARF, the experts on federal retirement and benefits. Download FAQs about your federal benefits today at fedfaqs.org. NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, unravels the most complex rules and requirements feds encounter. Download your free guide today at fedfaqs.org. That's fedfaqs.org.
The Washington Capitals are back.
Ovechkin down low, they score! Matt Hendricks, tic-tac-toe!
Back to Green, he's at the top of the right circle. Ovechkin, he scores!
Single game tickets are on sale now. Call 202-661-5050. That's 202-661-5050. Or buy your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com.
The Federal News Radio United Way Community Spotlight for February is Easter Seals. Join Easter Seals at the Verizon Center on March 20th for the M&T Bank Bright Stars Night at the Circus. Support as a sponsor or by purchasing a ticket to this special night at Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus that's dedicated to people with disabilities, including wounded warriors and their families. For more info, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John's.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. I'm Mike Causey. I'm talking with Steve Losey. He's a senior writer with the Federal Times, and we've been watching this all of the shenanigans involved with the sequestration, the possible furloughs, and then after that, again, debt ceiling limit argument again. Steve, have you ever seen a situation quite like this?
I have not. I have never seen a situation where the government has a runaway train of spending cuts barreling at them, and they can't figure out a way to avert them or shift them or do anything, really. They just keep kind of bickering at each other. People seem to agree that this is a bad thing to let happen, but nobody can come to any agreement on what to do about it. It's kind of astounding, really.
There was a very interesting, I think it was at least an hour long, documentary last night on PBS on Frontline, and it was sort of the history of the, not the sequestration battle, but the fiscal cliff, kind of the foundations of it, and how the White House shifted its position after making a deal, and then the Republicans in the House shifted their position after making a deal, and it's not a very flattering picture of any of them. And you had reporters from various media outlets, including Bob Woodward of the Washington Post, who had written a book about it, and it's some very revealing details about President Obama and House Speaker Boehner. If anybody really wants to know what's going on, or at least the background and timeline, I would recommend that show to them.
That's interesting. I did not see that. I should probably check that out.
Yeah, I think you can get it online, and it really would be well worth looking at, because it's very complicated. You know, a number of people, too, have mentioned the fact that in recent years, maybe the last 5-10, and again, this is a bipartisan thing, the Democrats as bad as the Republicans, but Congress really seems to have shifted to a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday work week and extended what is Tip O'Neill called back home work periods, but they're vacations.
That's right. I mean, the work schedule that Congress is on now probably made sense in, you know, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson's day, when the congressmen had to, you know, tend their farms, and it took days and weeks to go over these, you know, muddy roads. But I mean, today we have flights that can get you, you know, to Hawaii in a matter of hours instead of days. So yeah, they're really on a 3-day work schedule, if that.
If you doubt it, go out to National Airport or go to Dulles Airport, and there are special, and I might add free, parking areas for members of Congress and also the Supreme Court and congressional staffers. But if you go out there on a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or a Friday, you will see those lots are full, which means that somebody left that car and went and got on an airplane.
Yeah, and what's really sad about the Congress's abysmal work schedule is that so much of that, what little time they do spend at their job is spent, is flat wasted. I mentioned earlier the speech from Senator Inouye, and he talked about just how the filibuster, for example, has crippled the Senate. He said, this year, the Senate has been in session for 105 days. By my count, 31 of those days, the Senate's done nothing but consider motions to proceed or invoke cloture. That means nearly 30% of the Senate's time this year has been completely wasted. And when you've only got a three-day work week, that's a full day.
Yeah, and you're having a number of members, you know, highly respected Senator Inouye, a dedicated war hero, wounded. He lost an arm in combat with the 599th Regimental Combat Team in Italy in World War II. But when you have these, really, I guess you could call them statesmen, who are leaving not because they're tired, not because they have other things to do necessarily, but sort of in disgust at what's happened to the institution.
That's true. But then again, I'm reminded of a line from one of those old Bloom County comics.
Mm-hmm.
It says, a statesman is a dead politician.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah. Well, the Hill newspaper this morning is quoting Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, the Republican from Kentucky, who says he thinks that sequestration is going to happen, that we will hit the March deadline and these cuts will take effect. And I know none of us likes to guess, but if you were a betting man, what would you say?
I would probably give decent odds that, yes, sequestration is going to happen, at least for a little bit. I believe Senator McConnell said the other day that he's got no interest in repeating the last-ditch negotiations with Vice President Biden that they engaged in late December, early January, that averted the fiscal cliff and pushed sequestration off another 2 months. But he's saying that Biden hasn't reached out to him and he's not interested anyhow. So both sides are ramping up their rhetoric. Friday afternoon, the White House released a fact sheet that detailed for the first time what sequestration is going to mean for civilian agencies. They're talking about the loss of essentially 1,000 FBI agents being furloughed and losing their work hours, hundreds of federal prosecutors furloughed, thousands of food safety inspectors, widespread furloughs at the IRS. This could mean, you know, about 1,000 fewer criminal prosecutions at justice, fewer food inspections, which could increase the risk of salmonella, E. coli, etc. Now, the Republicans fire back and say that the White House is essentially using scare tactics. Congressman Tom Price of Georgia, he's a Republican, he called it Chicken Little time the other day and said the White House is engaging in demagoguery. So they're essentially, you know, playing chickens, daring each other to blink first.
Yeah, they're talking about the fabled Washington Monument cut, whereby an agency has a budget problem, and so it goes to Congress and says, all right, we're going to shut down the most popular thing with the public. In case of Interior, they close the national parks, shut down the Washington Monument, the height of tourist season, and let the people howl at Capitol Hill.
Yeah, but the Air Force, you know, nobody can accuse the Air Force of being a Washington Monument cut. They're saying they are preparing to furlough roughly 180,000 civilian employees for 22 days between now and the end of the fiscal year. And that is going to just put a serious dent in the readiness of our nation's fighter planes, bombers, that sort of thing. So this is no joke. This is not something that, you know, you can say, oh, this is just Washington playing their usual games. This is kind of unprecedented. This is a little bit scary.
Yeah, it is. It is totally different. You have three perfect storms coming together. They've kicked them down the road, but the day of reckoning is coming. As they said at Pearl Harbor, this is not a drill. And one other question: somebody said quickly, would seniority be of any value in deciding who gets furloughed? And I think the short answer is no. Correct?
I believe you're right. I think if you know. It would be a serious mistake if managers suddenly started exempting themselves. There's already a lot of angry people, and that would just worsen the us versus them. There was an interesting tidbit that the Washington Times reported yesterday. Ash Carter, the number two man at the Pentagon, he said that because he is a political appointee, he cannot be furloughed, but he promised lawmakers that if his people at the Pentagon, at the defense department get furloughed, he's going to give up 20% of his pay one day a week.
And so, I'm not sure he can legally do that. But,
maybe he'll get the IRS a check.
Send it to us. Well, thank you, Steve Losey, for being with us. Remember, shows are archived. You can listen to this one. This was a particularly good show with Colleen and Steve. And we'll see you here next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Have a good week.